Today on Doomed! It's an online conservative media civil war. And I say, let them fight, right? Today on Doomed, I, your host, Matt Binder, and my guest, Lance from the Serfs, are going to walk you all through what's been going on between Steven Crowder and Ben Shapiro and the Daily Wire crew. It's Crowder versus Shapiro, and I guess they call themselves DW, as if they're Darkwing Duck or something. I don't know. But let's get this show started. Let me pull up myself and my guest here on the YouTube and Twitch live stream so you can see our beautiful, handsome faces. Mine, of course, being beautiful, and Lance, of course, being handsome. hello, Lance.
On better days, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be here on the show, man.
Oh, thank you. Always a pleasure to have you. Always a good time. I feel like we always have quite a good show, whether it's you on this show, me on your show, or when we do Leftist Mafia on Thursdays.
It's a vibe. Also, we get down to the receipts, the brass tacks, you know, the truth, not the feelings, no feels, all reals.
Right, facts over feelings. I mean, if we're going to be doing a show about Ben Shapiro, that's the obvious direction to go with that. But yeah, so I have not yet talked about this on Doomed because the last episode of Doomed was actually not last week because I had to do a scam economy episode to get everything back in order. I've been behind on the scheduling since the new year, so I needed to just get both shows out there and back in the full swing of things. So I have not yet talked about what's been going on between Crowder and Daily Wire on this show yet. I know we discussed it a little bit on last Thursday's Leftist Mafia. I also spoke about it with the Majority Report crew when I was on the Majority Report on Thursdays, on Thursday, I should say. But and I know you've been covering this on your regular Twitch streams, and there's been some updates that you covered just yesterday that I have not yet. I've watched some clips, but I've not yet got the full measure on what's been going on. So I'm hoping you'll bring that to me too. But I guess first we should break down for everybody who may not be aware what the hell's going on. We should start at the very beginning. Why is Ben Shapiro and Steven Crowder fighting? And you know, it all really starts with, I mean, I guess it makes sense. If you heard those two names and you had to pretty much figure out on your own who started the little internet fight, you could probably guess, and this isn't, you know, I'm not making one sound better than the other, but they definitely have different personalities. They both have terrible personalities, but they are different. And I would pretty easily guess that if I knew nothing about this, that if there was a fight between the two of them, without a doubt, Steven Crowder started it.
Do you want me to comment with the truth or well, I mean, yeah, that is accurate. That is true.
I don't think anyone, I mean, unless you don't know who those people are at all, unless we have to go really like, unless we have to turn into Wikipedia for like whoever, a first time listener out there, Ben Shapiro is a conservative media commentator. Steven Crowder is a right wing YouTube quote unquote comedian.
I mean, I can tell your viewers what is being sold to everyone via Steven Crowder, what I think is actually happening behind the scenes. But very, very long story short, simply put, Steven Crowder's contract with Blaze expired. That was a previous large network that was paying him to produce his content. And he then was being shopped around and had a friendship, apparently, with Jeremy Boring, who happens to be the person who runs The Daily Wire, which is Ben Shapiro's media empire. We also stress and emphasize they make make fucking fuck tons of money. I think they have almost 1 million users, they boast. I don't know if they've ever demonstrated it in data. Maybe, Matt, you know more than I do. But they claim to have, I think, almost 1 million paying users. That is like, that's a lot of users paying for a Netflix of just far-right figures. You know,
I'll believe it. I'll believe it. I mean, Ben Shapiro does have one of the most popular podcasts. I mean, you could see that. Most popular
Facebook pages. Like time and time again.
And this is public stuff you could publicly see. Like, you know, he's constantly in the top charts on the public top charts on Apple Podcasts. I don't really use Spotify much for podcasts, so I don't know if he's on there too, but I'm guessing he's probably high up on there too. The huge Facebook page, like you said, and I'm sure having some of the other biggest names in conservative media on the roster as well, like Jordan Peterson and Candace Owens. And Matt Walsh, I don't know who else. Clavin is another guy. I think that's his name. And then they have a bunch of, you know, second, third, and fourth tier guys. So you know what? I will believe that close to a million sounds right, if not a million outright. I'll believe a million if they said it, but also I can see how it could be less. But it's probably in that range. Crowder, if you were to tell me he had a million, I wouldn't believe it.
No, he's boasting 300,000 Mug Club subscribers. He's like, day one, you'll get 300,000. But he refused to produce data that indicates that he actually has those kind of numbers as well.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. I don't know. I probably believe the Daily Wire numbers more so than the Crowder numbers. Let's put it that way. Even though the Crowder numbers are much lower.
I
also think, see, this is the thing, though. It's pretty hard to tell sometimes, because it's not always as cut and dry as, oh, look how many subscribers someone has. Oh, look, he's got millions of YouTube subscribers, because that just doesn't always translate to paying subscribers. And let me tell you, I can speak from experience. Because, you know, and it's weird, too, because then you'll see channels that, you know, someone just has like 10,000 subscribers or followers on whatever social media network, but then they'll show the data that like half of those people are paying them like $50 a month, because it's a completely different audience. Like, it's not like a politics audience. Like, it's totally dependent on the specific audience. There's people who probably make more than like a creator with millions of followers with like, honestly, like 10% of that number, because they just have a different audience. It's really hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah. So all that being said, what happens is Steven Crowder is given not a contract, but he's basically given, it's similar to like a memorandum of understanding. They line out all of the, what they want to have as a starting discussion. This is going to open the table. Here's what we're going to be offering you. And they're expecting pushback from Steven Crowder to be like, you know what? I'm not looking for 50. I'm actually looking for 75. I want to take 10% of second window distribution, whatever it is. You'd come back to the table, you'd redline it, and you'd have a counter offer, at which point they would come back yet again with their counter offer. And then maybe you'd seal the deal and or find somewhere in the middle. That's how this is normally done. I used to work in this exact field, which is why this story was particularly like super egregious to me, because I worked in digital distribution.
You worked in conservative media.
No, conservative. Pulled me in. That was too easy. Not in conservative media. I worked. I was a film editor for a while. I worked as a special effects supervisor. I've worked as like a grunt, a PA, all the way up to all the shitty jobs in film. Like, I was basically trying to get in the industry, working my ass off the whole time. And yes, every single major network takes advantage of anyone who's up and coming, because it's like, it's a dream. You don't turn it down. No one cares. You don't, like, some people can't even afford good lawyers or entertainment lawyers. They just take whatever comes their way, right? This deal, which was $50 million over 4 years for an internet show, is unheard of. This deal is getting close to rivaling things that were offered to people like Dave Chappelle, which was one of the most controversial and expensive signings of an entertainer in like the history of television. Like, it is absolutely outrageous that you were offered this much money. And I've heard all the arguments on the other side. It was not just for Crowder. He had to pay his staff. And I'm like, he's not paying anyone on his staff $400,000 a year. Are you kidding me? He might pay one or two people $250, maybe one person three or four, but the majority of the staff are still making like $80,000 a year. So that doesn't add up. He's got 12 and a half per year to produce a show. It's an internet show. It costs nothing. The studio's already built. Maybe they'd upgrade it for, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars is all you need to make a really, really nice studio. like across the board, it is absolutely outrageous. I mean, 50, I know we haven't gotten to the worst part, but
$50 million over 4 years. I mean, $50 million, period. No matter, it's a lot. It's a lot more money than
yes,
the vast majority of people will see in their lifetime.
Yes,
barring lottery or my career taking a very unexpected turn, will definitely be more than I ever see. But let's, you know, what's interesting to me is he claimed, how much does it cost to join Mug Club? What is the Mug Club subscription?
I think Mug Club, well, okay, let's see the new one. So it's Mug Club Forever, because he tried to steal all his Mug Club fans from the old site, which I guess he was worried.
Right,
I don't know what the
I'm guessing that
was.
Money goes to
the Blaze.
Blaze, right.
Yeah. So he tried to get everyone to join the new Mug Club. Right now it's just a sign me up. It's just stay in the Mug Club for a new, but they haven't set up. So this pretty much is, this is why Jeremy Boring in his video, his counter video to Crowder, was saying that he said day one you'd get about 300,000. But I think that's just based on maybe people who have signed up for the Mug Club email list. Because as of right now you don't pay. I think it used to be like $9 or $11. Mug Club price.
Because I wanna actually do the math here. I wanna see. This makes right. It is just a I'm assuming Blaze it's got to be like $5 or $10, right? Isn't that the usual?
Yeah. It was around there. I'm just trying to find
Mug Club cost. Does anyone know? $10 a month. Someone says Mug Club. Why is no one? How can you? Oh, okay. So this is from 2020. I found a Reddit thread. It's $99 a year. So let's say we got 300,000 people times 99. That is roughly $29.7 million a year if he really has, if people are subscribing for, you know, the $99 yearly one. So roughly $30 million a year.
Wow. See, in that it doesn't seem as outrageous for them to have made that offer.
But this is the thing though, this is why I don't believe it. Because what was apparently one of the Ben Shapiro came out and said that Crowder came back with a counter offer that they turned down because they couldn't do it.
Are you sure Shapiro said that or are you Candace Owens? Candace Owens said that he countered with 140 million. Jeremy Boring, who I believe a lot more because when he was explaining the whole thing, all he did was show the contracts. Like it seemed very fact-based, right? And it just seemed like business. It seemed like a very boring businessman explaining very simple terms to anyone who doesn't know this. But he was saying basically that after this, they expected pushback from Crowder. Crowder said, start from scratch. Like, just give me a new one, according to Jeremy Boring. Just like, no, fuck it. Come back to the table, something better. And obviously they were like, we're not going to do that. It costs us a lot of money just in lawyer fees alone to draft up something of this nature. It's a very generous offer, and like you should counter it or redline it if you're serious. Otherwise, this seems very cartoonish, right? They didn't know that he was starting a cause because it wasn't shortly after that that he registered his domain, and then they did that callback where he recorded him. Like, I'll be honest, this entire fiasco, because it's certainly an example of someone who doesn't either understand capitalism, contract law, or has never worked in any other form of entertainment where he wasn't just like coddled throughout, which I would love to believe that's a story. I don't think that's it. I think Steven Crowder stabbed them all in the back, created this feud, and has created this whole civil war cesspool. If this is my theory, this is just a Lance theory, based on the fact that he is going to start a competing business. So this is him directly striking at what would be, if you are your own digital distribution service, if you are your own right-wing conservative network, which he's already kind of stated he's now creating, either a streaming service, a YouTube equivalent, or his own like Daily Wire equivalent. I think that's the purpose. I don't think anyone operating at that amount of money and that level who has access to lawyers, who apparently has 25 employees, doesn't understand a very simple concept of, it makes sense that if they're offering you, what, nine figures? If you're offered nine figures, it's totally normal for them to put in terms. And terms related to how you generate income, that is so standard. Like, it would blow my mind if they weren't like, so if you get demonetized, which is how we make in the money that we're going to generate from you, you're an asset, we're buying you the asset, well, then we want to be able to recoup some of those losses. That makes sense. X amount of days that you are demonetized, we want to recoup it on whatever social media platform you get demonetized off. That seems so boilerplate. And for him to come out and be like, Big Con is in bed with Big Tech. The two of them are working together. This is a full-blown Big Tech conspiracy. It seems too ludicrous. I don't know. I know there's no way of knowing at this stage, but it seems too ridiculous for him to genuinely be like that asinine that he's straight up at this point making it into a cause. Because this is what the right does. They make silly things into causes. Jordan Peterson made Bill C-15 in Canada into a cause. It was made up, you know? Right. CRT was a cause. It's not taught in schools in America, but it's a cause, you know? Like Sarah right. Huckabee Sanders got that taken out of the school system, the thing that never was there, the ghost of CRT is no longer taught in schools. Right. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what your read is, but that's my theory.
No, I mean, I that's what I thought, too. I thought right away off the bat that Crowder was basically doing this to drum up some sort of attention and drama around him going solo. It's a great way for him to bring in cash money. But at the same time, the fight is very real. Like, I think there are people who think like it's made up. I don't think it's made up at all. In terms of like the two sides are really feuding, like Crowder's not being.
Oh, absolutely. That's not fake.
Yeah. No. Crowder's not being.
Oh, no.
Legit with like what his good faith or him being in good faith interested
oh, God,
in this
no.
at all. Yeah.
No. But the fight is real. He's backstabbing all of them. I love it. Amazing. Yeah. Right. What a surprise. The leopards are eating everyone. Whoa. They're right. not being friendly. Yeah. Of course. They're all backstabbing scumbags. And of course.
Because if you think about it, so Crowder apparently did come back, and asked for $30 million a year. Mm-hmm. According to Ben Shapiro, he tweeted this out.
Okay.
So according to Ben Shapiro, the timeline is they send Steven Crowder's agent an offer. Steven Crowder reaches back out to Jeremy of the CEO of Daily Wire and says he wants $30 million a year. And they said we couldn't do that. Here's the thing. If he's actually got 300,000 subscribers, giving him $100 a year. That's around 30 million. It makes no sense. Like either A, he doesn't really have 300,000 subscribers, or right. B, he never really was interested in Daily Wire. But then it still doesn't make sense because then 30 million is not a fuck you offer if you're actually making that per year from your subscribers. If you're going to say like no interest unless you pay me a crazy amount, you would send a fuck you offer. Which is something like I want $100 million a year. You know what I mean? You wouldn't ask for exactly what you're making. You know, like you wouldn't. That makes no sense. Because what if they came back and said, "Yeah, we could do that"? That makes no sense. Because if you're making $30 million, if you're making exactly what someone's offering you, and they're still saying the expenses are on you, like they already are, as you're an independent creator, then that offer makes no sense. I could see if Daily Wire was like $30 million plus, we'll pay for all expenses, your crew, your production budget, everything. That would be a different offer. But that's not what the offer is. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think Steven Crowder wasn't interested, so he sent an FU offer. And $30 million is the FU offer because he doesn't actually have 300,000 subscribers. That's my theory.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad theory. I watched Crowder. I mean, at first I watched Candace Owens go on Tim Pool's show because, man, is she ever talking a lot of shit about Crowder. And then I saw Crowder yesterday appear on Tim Pool's show. And in both cases, Tim Pool did the really intense journalistic thing where he basically just agreed with most of what each of them said and their opinions.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves with the Tim Pool thing. I want to. Because I do want to talk about a little bit more about, the feud. So we covered the feud, the offer.
Did we cover all – that's pretty much the outline of the offer in which he rejected. Now, after he rejected it,
the main
problem
Crowder claims he has, and this is where he turned the whole – so he dropped this video, and I didn't really grab any clips because I don't really want to play this stuff because it's – we could just talk about it. It's nothing special. It's not like some big reveal. Crowder goes at Daily Wire saying that Big Con is in bed with Big Tech. And according to Crowder's video, his problem with the offer, this is before we even know that it's a $50 million offer and that Crowder actually
or
wants
who it's
more
with.
Money. Right. The only thing we know, and he didn't even name Daily Wire at first.
No, he didn't.
He said an anonymous, a big conservative media outlet.
I thought it was The Blaze. The way he was talking about it, I was like, oh, The Blaze wanted to renew his contract and they offered him this, but he he doesn't realize that this is pretty standard, that they would actually put terms, you know, that it would come with terms either way. Sorry.
So he just comes out right off the bat with this video saying he got an offer from a big conservative media company, and they're tying his revenue to big tech policy. And his biggest problem, according to Crowder at the time, with this offer, was that the Daily Wire, again, it's $50 million over 4 years. We don't know these details yet from Crowder, but we do now. $50 million over 4 years. Production cost still goes to Crowder because Crowder has full editorial control. He does his show exactly how he does it now.
Complete creative control.
Right, but
a dream contract in everywhere. Yeah.
Daily Wire basically does the marketing. They even in the contract, they'll talk with Crowder for him to create a big annual production, like a documentary movie every year, and they'll pay for that fully. He has full editorial control. They just take basically. They just get paid from his monetization avenues. They will control the YouTube advertising, wherever else he advertises, the Rumble stuff that Crowder's doing now. The Mug Club subscriptions go through Daily Wire. But that's also good if they're paying you a lot, because then you don't have to deal with the administrative bullshit around dealing with subscriptions and advertisers and shit. But so Crowder says his problem was in the contract terms, Daily Wire is tying big tech policy to Crowder's money-making ability. Basically, according to the contract, Daily Wire says if Steven Crowder gets suspended from YouTube, for example, or gets demonetized from YouTube, for example, for those days that it happens, they'll cut his daily pay rate out of that, out of the millions he's making a year. The daily pay rate will be cut by something like 20% or something like that.
Yeah, per social media site that the revenue is lost from.
Right. So basically that $50 million contract, if Crowder gets banned for a couple months every year from YouTube, that $50 million contract is no longer a $50 million contract. It could be, I don't know, I'm not going to do the math, garnished. But it could be a $40 million contract or something. It makes sense. I mean, it makes sense if you're tying.
Oh, for that amount of money? Sorry, I said 9 figures, really, but it's 8 figures. But even then, 8 figures in media, in traditional media, in television, Anderson Cooper makes about $10 to $12 million a year. So does Tucker Carlson. We're talking people at the top of legacy media. So we have a comparable contract being offered to an internet show. And it's a racist ass internet show. That's I've been trying to show people, because a lot of people didn't even know what Steven Crowder was about. They just hear the $50 million, and I'm like, well, yeah, here's the clips. And it's like, oh wow, that's some Mickey Rooney style old timey racism that you don't see anymore kind of stuff. I'm astounded. I'll be honest, Daily Wire must have had their minds blown when all of a sudden they're like, wait, what the hell? He released a video where he's showing parts of the contract. Did he mention us? No, but it's us.
Everyone figured it out pretty quickly.
They had to make a statement. Yeah, of course. And then right away it's like, why would you do this? No one in business is ever going to take this man seriously again. I'm sorry. I felt like if you never worked a day in your life or been in a normal job or worked for a company or anything, you don't do this. You don't get a huge ass offer and then you're like, haha, content.
Right.
I can't wait to turn this around into a video. It's like, damn, no one's ever going to want to work with you. Why would they? You don't operate in good faith. You're just a weasel. But I mean, it doesn't matter if you are sabotaging your own, or sorry, not sabotaging, if you're starting your company from scratch. It's not that he cares, in my opinion, deeply about wanting to do the right thing and make sure people don't get taken advantage of. He's going to take advantage of so many up and coming young creators. He's going to rip them the fuck off, and it's going to be terrible and exploitative. That's just the way it's going to be. He wants to be at the top of the food chain. There's a pyramid, and he wants to be at the very top. And so, doesn't want to take that bag.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that Daily Wire. Listen, we're not, again, I want to make this clear. We're not propping up or on the side of the Daily Wire. We will get to how this, what this means to that for them, honestly, in a minute. Yes. Yeah. But in this fight, when you look at those two videos, if you're put yourself in the, this is hard because a lot of them don't live in reality and they don't really care about what makes sense. But if you're a normal human being who looks at things rationally, You look at those two videos, Steven Crowder making a video that obviously feels like YouTube drama, made specifically for clicks. And then you got this hour-long video from the business guy at Daily Wire literally walking you through the contract in the calmest way I've ever heard any Daily Wire guy speak, by the way.
It was also common sense.
Right, right. It's just like, yeah, you don't need convincing for this either. Like, just literally, it just was very, like...
I'm not the capitalist either, by the way, you know? Why do I know more about contract law than fucking Steven Crowder? He should love this shit. He shouldn't be like, this is terrible. They're really exploiting the workers. He should be like, this is awesome. They're exploiting the workers. I want to do this, you know? Right. I want to be at the top.
Right. So this all happens. The Daily Wire video drops where they go through this and explain everything. And they drop the $50 million thing. And what was really interesting to me was... I just said how they were just like rational, went through the contract. But then I just recalled there was some like snippy little parts in there. And the first thing I think of, my takeaway from that video is actually the attack on Crowder's claim that he is an independent creator. That was great because the Daily Wire guy starts going through how Crowder actually, according to them, has actually never been an indie creator. He always had the backing of some conservative billionaire's outlet. He went back like three billionaires ago for Crowder. And then went through all of them that Crowder has had backing from. The one part where I was like, all right, I like this. It wasn't just like boring. I'm not going to side with either guy. This is just drama. I'm going to pay attention so they could fight. That one part, I was definitely like a little part of me was like, am I on their side here?
Oh, no, I mean, just from a like, look, I don't agree with it. I think it's fucking horrendous that major media empires do this. It just doesn't surprise me that the Daily Wire, like any other one, like the fact that Crowder ended up recording a conversation with Jeremy Bourne where he tried to expose the fact that he's like, for up and coming creators, like, do you garnish their wages? Do you not pay them well? Do you blah, blah, blah? And like the guy's like, just fact of the matter, like, of course. Of course, we are in a position of power. We are a massive fucking Netflix tier style equivalent, you know, obviously nowhere near comparable. We're talking hundreds of millions versus 1 million, but still a massive, you know, big budget network, tons of fucking backing and funding. Like, it makes sense that if we're offering you this much money, we're going to have terms. I was like, yeah, that makes total sense. I don't have to agree with you or like the Daily Wire to understand it's just normal. It's just, it's really weird to see a grown ass adult who either has been so coddled his whole life. That's the only thing I can think of for Crowder. Why would you act like this? It's so weird to be like, people would literally give their fingers. Some people would give up digits to get $1 million, to be offered $1 million to have their own show that is broadcast to millions of people. Like, seriously, I remember bringing this up and fucking, what's his face? Mike of the Humus Report was like, oh, I'd give an arm. We don't have to go that far. But I'm saying, seriously, there are some people who are like, $1 million would change so much of my and my family's lives. I could pay off my debts, pay off my sister's debts, get him out of jail, like all this shit. It would change tons of lives. Yes, I will lose my pinky for $1 million, right? It's such a grotesque separation of reality. And you don't see that on the left. Like, yeah, Hassan, super rich. ContraPoint, super rich. Philosophy Tube, super rich. H-Bomber Guy, they're all Chapo. All rich, but they're rich because they have like thousands and thousands of people who spend $5 or $10 a month to them. But just thousands and thousands of independent people giving them money. It's not like, you know, George Soros comes along. He's like, hey, Hassan, do you want $25 million? All you got to do every now and then is say that like capitalism not so based, and then you'll get that money. Like, no, it doesn't happen in the other direction. Well, I don't know.
By the way, just to put it out there, I won't give an arm like Mike Figueredo of the Humanist Report said. But if you need me to drop a capitalism is somewhat based every now and then, I'll do that for $1 million.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll do all kinds of dancing for $1 million. Doesn't matter.
but what was also interesting about that part, though, is that he also mentions it in the context of he also, in the same sense, doesn't think Crowder knows how many subscribers he actually has to the Mug Club. Because he says the reason for bringing that up is because he's always had other people getting paid the subscriptions. So he never actually saw the raw data of how many subscribers he has. I think that is very interesting. I mean,
it's telling. It's not something like you just calculated. How much was it? $23 or $30 million. You can't assume $30 million worth of risk without evidence in business at that tier. It doesn't happen. You don't get to sit down at a table, regardless of your reputation, and be like, oh yeah, well, trust me, I'll bring $30 million. Can you show us? Nah, just that's the amount of people who will sign up. It's like, well, cool. I mean, there needs to be something behind that, some kind of evidence.
Well, you did just hear. Did you hear about that story about JP Morgan suing the founders of this startup that they acquired for $175 million?
No.
Some people apparently will throw around that kind of money without doing due diligence. So a couple of weeks ago, it came out that JP Morgan is suing these founders of a startup called Frank that they acquired for $175 million. It was a college financial planning startup. And okay. They claim to have like something like a 4 million users or something. Okay. And JP Morgan bought the company in hopes of having, you know, getting access to that 4 million user mailing list.
Yeah, of
course.
Well,
it turns out that they only had a couple hundred thousand subscribers or users. And that they actually went ahead and hired someone to make 4 million fake accounts when they found out that JP Morgan was interested in buying the company. So,
oh my God.
So JP Morgan found out when they bought the company and started to send emails to these 4 million users, and all these emails started to bounce back.
Well, I mean, on that, I got to say, you know, power to them, you know, get that bag. If you were able to pull that off, if it's not illegal.
Well, no, it is. They're being sued. They're being sued. The founders are being sued. JP Morgan's suing them.
Illegal, though. You can be sued for a lot of things in America.
Right. Well, we'll see, I guess, what happens to them. Right. But just to throw it out there that it actually would not have surprised me if Daily Wire threw all that money to Crowder without confirming how many subscribers he had.
I mean, the only other reason would be that they can mitigate those kind of losses by whatever external funding they get. Because regular companies, especially regular media companies, like working in multimedia, especially digital distribution, it's cutthroat. It is razor thin margins because there is an excess of competition. That's one of the hardest things in that industry. So the Daily Wire has a niche. There's like they are producing AAA conservative content and movies of which you can't really find anything of that tier and quality. So that certainly speaks to itself. But again, you don't offer a man like Steven Crowder that amount of money unless you can assume that risk. Or that subscriber base is really going to bring in the numbers you say that it's going to bring in. Because, all right. I mean, if he's bringing in $30 million, then yeah, that actually makes a significant difference in why they would assume that kind of risk to take someone like him on. Yeah.
Right. So they have this whole fight. And we get the video from Daily Wire. And then, like you mentioned, Steven Crowder then hit back, showing that he recorded a call with Jeremy Boring of Daily Wire without Jeremy's knowledge. But I mean,
on
a talk boy. I don't know. That audio quality was pretty good. I think the talk
boy
wasn't
on
just
a talk boy. He brought that on as a prop because it's a reference and he likes references and references are funny. He was referencing Home Alone 2. And when he referenced it, you got the reference. And that was the fun part about it because he's a comedian. He does funny things. It's awesome. He's so good. He also said that apparently it cost $4,000 for that bit. Took 2 seconds on eBay. They're selling for like $60. Complete fabrication. Unless you spent $4,000. Maybe that's where the budget's going. I have no idea. Maybe that's
$4,000. I got a talk boy somewhere. Talk boys are not rare
on
either.
eBay for like $60.
Yeah, I could buy one right now. I could get one right now. Maybe I'll order one right now actually and start recording calls of my own.
Why not?
What a bit. talk boy. But was there anything even in that was interesting? Like he tried to make it like it was some big gotcha, and seemed from what I heard, it was just like
boring. That's where we got the slave. Yeah, it was the slave wages term. It, like again, the things he was saying, they're not good. I don't endorse the fact that big companies take advantage of young up and coming artists in every field. By the way, music, literature, fucking film, television, whatever it is. If there's a creative venue, Yes, if you are starting out, you will be taken for a ride for a long time, and maybe even like years into your career. It's absolutely atrocious. I don't endorse that, but I understand it. Like I understand what they're doing, you know, and I understood what they were offering Crowder. I understood what, like, why it made sense that these things existed. I didn't think in any way, like, you would have to be a fool to think they were doing this because they were partnering or in somehow a collusion with big tech, or, you know, even just as bad, permissive. They're okay with this. They're, like, it costs so much money to run servers. It costs so much money to host your own media and have streaming. Those upfront costs and monthly costs can become exorbitant as you scale up and have a massive show. It's completely free to have a YouTube channel. It's completely free to have a Twitch stream. It's completely free to have a Rumble account. All of these things, that's why people use them, and they're massive, like, networks. They're just big search engines. YouTube is one of the biggest search engines on the internet. Daily Wire is not going to stop putting content on there. If you got signed to Daily Wire, they're going to expect, because they own you as an asset, to put their shit on Daily Wire as well. It's just like, all of this makes sense. It's just so weird to have someone who's like claiming that he's standing up for a noble cause, you know? This, at the end of the day, it's about big tech. Big tech. That's what I care
about. Right. Yeah, it's clearly a play from Crowder. But then the other Daily Wire people start getting involved. Yeah. Candace Jordan Owens Peterson, going.
Candace Owens, you name
is
it.
Going for Crowder's throat. Honestly, it seems.
Oh yeah.
She brings up again. Apparently, there was some guy on Crowder's show back in the day called not gay Jared. Again, yeah. The comedy over there is just fully flowing and. Not gay, oh, yeah. Jared. And apparently, Steven Crowder was abusive to this guy, and this guy left. I mean, in a big hubbub. It wasn't a friendly breakup. What do you know?
According,
the details
according
beyond
to
that?
Candace, well, she said that Crowder allegedly made him sign an NDA, and he wasn't allowed to talk about the stuff. I looked it up because I used to criticize and comment Crowder's content when Not Gay Jared was the co-host, and they've done some of the most despicable and racist sketches together. No question, it doesn't really seem like they left on bad terms. It looks like Jared started a family. He wanted to transition away. They had an amicable final episode where Jared was on the show and they like made jokes. Like, it really doesn't seem, I could be wrong. Could be stuff behind the scenes that we just don't know. But like, just, I'm saying on the surface from the evidence available. And I say this as someone who hates Steven Crowder. I'm not here to defend him or his show, but it doesn't really look like there's like a huge, unless it's all behind the scenes. Would have to be 100% behind the scenes. But that's as far as I could see. She also came up today and made an even more ominous and nebulous accusation, where she had received private information regarded to Steven Crowder that, if released, would be devastating. So devastating to both him and anyone who's a fan of his, that rather than be mad at him, she is now choosing to pray for him and asking all her fans to do the same. That's how bad it is. Yeah.
I mean, wait, it sounds like a lot of talk. If you got the goods,
yeah,
you gotta...
it sounds all talk.
Yeah.
with zero legal repercussions for any of it, because it's all just mysterious, you know? It's like a Scooby-Doo quest. Like, who knows where it'll lead?
Right. My favorite was when Crowder first dropped these allegations before he named the Daily Wire, Jordan Peterson tweeted out his support of Crowder's so complaints good. About Big Con so and good. Colluding with big tech. And then when it came out later that Crowder was referring to Daily Wire, who pays Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson is on the Daily Wire roster. He has a show with them and everything. He's in a, I don't know if you would consider him an employee, but he's...
Absolutely. He 100% is. He's contractually obliged to produce content for them exclusively right now.
There you go. He went back and deleted his support of Crowder. I really do think Jordan Peterson might be the, like, that's what makes it crazy that he's the guru for young men. Apparently, he honestly might be one of the dumbest people I've ever like Crowder, Shapiro. You know, they know what they're doing in their own little worlds, and you know, they know how to scheme. I really think Peterson is not savvy at anything. Honestly,
he maybe was at one point. I mean, the only credit
to be where he
is...
Well, you know what? I think this is a guy who was able to skate by on that title before his name, Professor. Mm-hmm. I mean,
oh, yes, absolutely.
That's his whole
in a long
thing.
Collection of people who should not be like, yes, know a lot about one specific field. You're really, really good at, say, mathematics, James and Z. Really, really good at mathematics. You probably should stick to that and not talk about sociology, not talk about black crime rates, not talk about poverty, not talk about gender. Because all of those are adding some weird, like, you know, perspective mixed in with bigotry and trying to justify it through my formulas. So I have cracked the code of the leftist language speak. Like, no, people who are hyper-specialized are probably incredibly really, really good at that one hyper-specialized thing. Jordan Peterson's a good example of that. And I agree with you. His behavior of the last 3 months has been deeply, deeply embarrassing, even for fans of his. Like, I have seen people, straight Peterson fans and normies in droves moving to, like, the Reddit Enough Peterson spam because of, like, first all of the stuff he was doing with Elliot Page, then the Peterson Sports Illustrated model. Oh, will not smash. Oh, no, she can't tempt me. No amount of authoritarian. Like, all this shit was so deeply embarrassing. He got clowned on really bad for that. All the way to he got banned off Twitter, and then he's like, oh, I'm making this into a cause, and everyone's like, it's not a cause. You have to delete one tweet. And he's like, I never will do it. I'll die before I eat the tweet. And then directly afterwards, he's like, oh, I have to do some housekeeping. So he came back on. He's like, oh, I deleted the tweet, but I'm going to post it again because I said I'd never delete it. And I won't. Like, just deeply, deeply embarrassing behavior for a while, right? So this lined up. Let's just say that.
Very, yeah. The guy is just, yeah. So all these Daily Wire people are involved now because they have to stand up. I wonder if a mass email went out to all of them. I wonder if it was like, it's time for us to all get on the same page.
I don't know. I like Matt Walsh lost his mind. I thought he would just make one or two posts, but then, like, why wade too much into the drama or the muck? Anything we do just gives the ammunition to our enemies. Like, everything they're doing publicly, all the fiend, it's just like a popcorn for the rest of us, right? And it's deeply, deeply amazing. So I was surprised to see Matt Walsh. It was like post after post after post, and then people ripping into him from Crowder's fan base. Someone was like, oh yeah, Matt, seems like you really used Daily Wire budget to go to Africa. That's what it was all about, wasn't it? I was like, did you think Matt Walsh had a secret, like, to go to Kenya, and he always wanted to do that, and that's why he made What Is a Woman, and he, like, marched into the Daily Wire office, and he's like, I want to go to Kenya.
What? I will say, I mean, who knows, though? These guys got all sorts of, you know, issues.
Hey, you know, there'd be things going on behind the scenes I don't know about. I'm willing to learn.
Right. I mean, yeah, Matt Walsh was so upset about this. You would have thought that he found out that Steven Crowder was trans. I mean.
True. True. Absolutely.
Yeah. Matt Walsh probably had to, like, psych himself up, and he just pulled up some clips of Crowder wearing drag for his skits, and immediately he was able to get angry. Yeah. Oh.
The rage.
So Crowder now, this is the part, because I caught up last week with everything. I was following, but then I did not catch. Crowder was on Tim Pool's show last night, apparently. Is that correct?
Yesterday. Yes, I watched it in its entirety live.
How did it do, by the way? How did was it a big hit for Pool?
The second most popular show they've ever broadcast in
really?
The industry. According to Tim Pool, that was when they were at, I think, 175 or 180,000 views just on YouTube. Just on YouTube, they were at like 180,000 live viewers, I think.
Well, we could see it was, right now. It looks like it may be, right? Yeah, it looks like it's... It certainly is about to be, it looks like, yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, well, Crowder is the most subscribed conservative on YouTube.
Well, no, Russell Brand is now.
Ooh, I like that. I see what you did there.
Yeah. He's got dicks. Yeah, no, so he goes on that show. I think one of the reasons everyone was there, and it was like Crowder was kind of nervous and he was very key. You could tell Crowder is kind of subdued because he's trying to really pass off that this is incredibly serious and he takes it deeply serious. So he wasn't being that much of an asshole. He can't help himself. There were times when completely unprovoked, he was just dropping mad anti-Semitic, like racist joke. But like that would just be like he would just throw it in there. And he's like, that's just for the anti-Semites. You know, like just try to slip it in between everything. It was kind of boring. I thought it would be a little spicier, but Crowder lays it out very plainly. this is the plan, that he's saying that there's a huge problem with people staying out of the industry. He doesn't care about the money. This was never about the money. He said that he had close to, I believe, 4 to 6 competing offers within the same price range. Now, he claimed that. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's outrageous. I was thinking in my head, I can't even think of another network that can offer you that kind of money. The Daily Caller, maybe? That's Tucker Carlson's outfit. Maybe Breitbart? Fox News doesn't like you. They're not going to offer you that kind of cash. Maybe Owen was giving in some.
I don't know if Owen's got that money, honestly.
Yeah.
30.
Yeah. Like yeah. That's yeah. Okay. So I have no idea. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not true. It sounds complete bullshit. Maybe he did get a competing offer or another competing offer. One of those kind of, I have no idea of knowing that's true or not, but basically he lined it out with Tim Pool, who agreed with almost everything he said, just like Tim Pool agreed with almost everything Candace Owens said. It was really neat. I was like, wow, they're juxtaposing, having completely different opinions, but both are correct. This is awesome. Radical centrism at its finest. At the core, he cares about...
Oh, Candace Owens. I forgot about that. Candace Owens went on Tim Pool's show when this was all happening last before. Week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. A couple days before.
I forgot all about that.
That's why it was such a big event. She set the whole thing up. She talked shit about Crowder for so long. Like, just kept on ripping into him. Tim Pool was playing it so careful, just being like, oh, you know, I respect both of you. Love both of you. Radical centrism. It's awesome. Don't take an opinion on anything. But it got to a point where, like, she's really digging deep. I don't know why she's taking this so personally with Crowder. And Crowder did, like, this cowardly thing where he's like, hey, I'm not going to go on here and call anyone a bitch, you know, start making fun of them, calling them a bitch or anything. That's not what I'm here to do. I do want to talk about Candace Owens, though, okay? And then just went off about, you know, Candace Owens for a little while. He's still trying to say that this is a righteous cause. He doesn't care about the money, and that the only alternative at this point is to start his own network. He hinted at both starting like a YouTube alternative and a Daily Wire alternative, of which the whole, like, the Tim Pool people, like Luke Radowski or whatever, the AnCap guy, and Ian Moonlord, all of them, they were all so on board with this. They were just all getting excited, like the idea of alt tech, this new, like, maybe cryptocurrency blockchain based super network, a decentralized kind of shit. Yeah. And Tim Pool's also working on his own network as well. He brought it up. It was his network is similar to kind of like Mastodon, but it's for conservatives. It's like Mastodon for conservatives was kind of how I'd describe it.
Oh, yeah. So he's doing Parler, Getter, Truth Social.
It's honestly, he described it. It sounded like MySpace, but with the Mastodon federated capabilities, decentralization. Like, you have a page. It'll look fancy, I'm sure, where it's like the Tim Pool page. And then it aggregates other conservative sites and stuff that it thinks you would like that are federated in other decentralized servers. So everyone can just share all their, like, cross-pollinate with each other in this weird.
Why is Tim Pool a liberal, a disaffected liberal / centrist? Why is he starting a conservative platform? Very weird, huh? Did he call it a conservative platform, or is that you saying that?
That was not Tim, but one of Tim's co-hosts. Maybe Ian was referring to the fact they brought up that there was specifically. I mean, they always sometimes phrase it not. They won't even use like right wing or conservative. They'll use terms that aren't afraid to talk about the truth behind vaccines. That aren't afraid to talk about why currency should be decentralized. That aren't afraid to tell like the truth, like, you know, the Fauci ouchie shit like that. Rather than being like, well, yeah, that sounds like a distinctly right wing narrative. Most people. Aren't okay with killing their fans in exchange for a couple extra dollars. Most people, you know, not Jimmy Dore, but a lot of other people.
Oh boy, there's a whole nother thing there. But anyway, one clip I did see of Crowder on Pool that stuck with me was Crowder's whole thing here is that Big Con is in bed with big tech, and Big Con equals companies like Daily Wire. And he claims this because Daily Wire was going to connect his pay to the status of his account on various different platforms. If he gets banned, suspended, demonetized, it hits him in the wallet. Because then Daily Wire can't make money or off of ads or use those platforms to promote so they could gain subscribers and stuff. And then on Tim Pool's show, though, Crowder uses an example of how YouTube once called him to say that they didn't like one of the shirts he was selling on his own website because it used the word, the derogatory F word for gay people.
It doesn't actually have a word. It has figs. It
figs, says, right? Oh, I remember is for this figs. Shirt now. That's, I remember
that's
this.
It's funny,
shirt
right? Because right. yeah, it's not hate speech. It's figs. Who doesn't like figs?
But the word he wants you to substitute it for is
yes, of course.
And so they reached out to him and said, you know, we're gonna hit you with some sort of, you know, punishment for breaking a policy based on this shirt. So Crowder removed the shirt from his website and then put up a new product called a mystery bag or mystery box, which was just their way of selling the shirt on the DL.
Yes.
And then YouTube called him back, apparently, and said, we know what you're doing here. We're still going to hit you with this if it's, you know. And so Crowder then says, so he just took it all down. Does he realize what he said there? I mean, that sounds to me like Big Con in bed there with Big Tech.
He was also bragging about how he's got a direct line to YouTube a number of times, you know, where he'd be like, oh, you know, they talk to me, they're really nice, you know, and I want to be honest, they even remonetized me by accident, then demonetized me again. And it was actually kind of neat that they did that a little while. That's exactly what that is. Here, the easiest way for me to explain it to the last holdouts who still think it's a ridiculous contract. If you had a magazine, and that's what you publish, you had the Matt Binder magazine, and all of a sudden, the Matt Binder magazine, you're going to make on the cover of the Matt Binder magazine just this beautiful, gorgeous, giant, swollen cock. That's going to be on the front page of it. And then a whole bunch of magazines, different magazines, outlets, right? Like stores, different stores.
I don't like where you're going with this. I don't like where you're...
Here, just hear me out. Let me get there, okay? Different magazine stores decide not to sell your product. So a whole bunch of different outlets, independent of you, decide we're not going to sell that. We find it obscene. This is obscene to us. We're not putting that magazine in our stores. It's the same thing. These are the outlets. These are the digital outlets that are mainstream, that are used by a major multimedia digital company. And it would be ridiculous for you to assume that they wouldn't use YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, all these different stores. Of course they will. This is how the industry works. So it's so bizarre to me to suddenly be like, yeah, that's because you're colluding with big tech. No, it's not. These are just the outlets that are. If your issue is with big tech's monopolies, at which you're speaking my language, baby, let's talk about antitrust laws. Let's talk about maybe nationalizing aspects about it. Let's talk about making it public utility. All that is a very different conversation than all of a sudden being like, this is because the two of them are working together. And it's like, well, no, this is the internet as it is now. This is how this works.
Right. No, absolutely. Right. As you can tell, folks, I did not have the ability to hire any branding experts before launching Matt Binder magazine.
did not test it, you know, test the markets. Was not the demographics I was going for.
Right. People did not know what to expect, and I think they were thrown off even more by the cover of the first issue just having a big cock on it.
I mean, I bought it. It had some good articles. You know, I learned some things.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. You were the only buyer of Matt Binder magazine. I'm here to announce that Matt Binder magazine is unfortunately closing its operations. Okay. Right. So what do you think is going to happen next year? How can they escalate this further? I mean, I guess Candace Owens could drop whatever bombshell apparently she's got. I don't know.
I don't think she has anything. I think she's just generating content for clicks, or maybe seeing if she throws a couple things out there. How far is it going to pull Crowder? Is Crowder suddenly going to be like, you know what? Here's my recordings of Candace Owens. Is he going to release that? Is Candace Owens going to be like, okay, well, here's some pictures of Crowder that no one wants to get released? I don't know. It could be everything, could be nothing, probably nothing. I don't trust any of them because obviously they all at one point or another have basically deceived for pay or not corrected themselves when it's been so dramatic how bad or incorrect they are on a topic or subject. What's going to happen next? I think Crowder's going to continue to ride the wave because this is making very big news. It was in Forbes. It was in Rolling Stone. I mean, it's like normies are hearing about Crowder who never would have learned about him because of it. It's a big media cycle. It's creating a lot of controversy, a lot of views, a lot of clicks. If I'm being totally honest, One hell of a way to launch a network. One hell of a way to launch a fucking competitive, direct, conservative network that fucking tells you the truth. They all sell that idea from InfoWars all the way to fucking Fox News, remember? Fair, balanced, all these .tm, InfoWars, the one place to fight the culture wars we hear are a grand hero. Every single conservative outlet is about focusing on that I'm the only one telling you the truth. I'm the only one who's got the guts to say it. I'm the only one who's going to come out here and reveal it. So you got to help me and support me. You got to buy my dick pills. You got to buy my slop buckets. You got to buy everything and prepare for the future, because if you don't, if you don't do that, then they'll win. And they can change. It's great. It could be the globalists. It could be the Jews. It could be lizard people. It could be Obama. It could be the Hollywood elites. Doesn't matter. But I'm the only one who's actually working for you. So Crowder now has that with actual full force behind him. If he launches this, it's going to be like the Truth Network, fight like hell, whatever he calls it. You know, it's it's one hell of a way to get into the industry.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to understand where these my darkling on YouTube this comment Matt Binder magazine when Mag Binder was right there.
What a waste. That's why I never took off.
I caught that at the corner of my eye and I couldn't help but laugh. Like, what is the market for all these platforms? Like, we know there's not a market, first of all. It's already been, oversaturated, at least the social media stuff. Like, Getter, Parler, these are obvious failures, these two at the very least. And Truth Social is basically humming along due to Trump. And now, I don't know if you've seen the recent reports where Trump wants to end his exclusivity agreement with Truth Social because he's fiending to get back onto Twitter. I mean, these platforms just didn't take off.
Rumble's supposed to be the exception to the – I mean, you're describing the problem with monopoly capitalism, right? A lot of these industries are dominated by companies that have every single corner. It's really hard to become a competitor to Google when they dominate so much of the market, or Amazon when they dominate so much of the market. But when it comes to alternative alt tech, Rumble's supposed to be the exception to the rule. Like, I look at Rumble quite frequently, and there's shows on there. Like, I don't know if you know who Salty – I'm going to say C-word because I don't know. You're on YouTube. Oh, no, you're on Twitch too. Okay, I'm not going to get you banned. So a content creator called Salty C-word, not really well known, not like household name like Ben Shapiro, Steven Crowder, that kind of stuff, but he has nearly a million subs. People don't talk about him. Very far right, super kind of far right extremist takes and stuff like that. He gets on Rumble, what it shows in terms of numbers, 20 to 40,000 viewers, live viewers, this virtual nobody that you may be learning about for the first time right now. This individual shows on Rumble. Crowder gets, you know, hundreds of thousands of viewers on Rumble, according to numbers. I've heard a lot of people ask, is Rumble made up? Are they fudging the numbers? Are they getting these comparable streaming numbers? Because those are massive. I don't have any evidence towards that yet. I don't know if you're privy to anything about that, but like that's a common talking point I've heard.
I'll say that the numbers on Rumble are so all over the place that I wonder what is going on there.
Right.
There's definitely some things that make me, think twice about how these viewers are coming in. Like, look at, I don't know, just go to their main page. You and I think it is. I think they basically push shows and whatever is on the front page, which is the editor's picks, get clicks from the big, like from people going on there, I guess, whatever. Cause I do think there is an audience on there who is watching. But then if you go to people's specific channels and you see how much they usually get, it's very far apart. Mm-hmm. Steven Crowder might be an exception cause he's already a known person, so he might not be a good, but I mean, his numbers are obviously a lot less than YouTube's.
I'm looking at Matt Gaetz's channel. The videos are averaging what shows to be 4,000 views, 4,000, but then 10,000 views, 10,000 views, 78,000 views, but then down to 3,000 views. It is weird. It's incredibly irregular. I don't know what's causing random surges in a whole bunch of videos. And then Crowder's channel.
Here's a perfect example. Ready? Here's a perfect example. Yeah. Donald Trump Jr. has a paid deal with Rumble. If you go to his page, you ready for this? You go to his page. The most recent video has 466,000 views, half a million views. The video right before it has 4,000 views.
I just saw that.
The video before that has 3,000 views. The video before that has 12,000 views. Video before that, 23,000 views. Video before that, 9,000 views.
Something weird is going on here.
Yeah. One video gets 500,000 views, and then all the other ones range in the four figures to low five figures of views. Doesn't make any sense. Something is weird here. And this is a guy getting paid directly by them too. I mean, it helps that he's the former president's son, but one of his videos has 2,000 views from 2 weeks ago. Something is off. Weird. Something is off.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who's. And then you got that weird slap show on TBS or whatever. That what's his face, Dana White from the UFC is running.
Competitive slapping.
Yeah, power slap. they're an official Rumble. Hilarious. They're an official Rumble partner. So all the after show and everything goes on Rumble. We're talking like some of this stuff has hundreds of views.
Oh wow, this is weird. It's like one video has 616,000 views, and then the next one has 900. How do you go from 616,000 to 900?
Something is off here. I think they push traffic to specific videos, and then normally it's not. I don't know how they do it. I don't go on Rumble that much, if ever, really. But something is off here. There are definitely people on Rumble. They're not organically clicking around the website, though.
Okay. So they're being filtered there by other social media from big names.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to judge a website that I was interested in investing in or advertising on, I went on Rumble's main page and saw how giant the gap is between views. I would question what's going on, honestly.
Now I want to see how the stock is doing. Because they're publicly traded, I think.
Yes, because of the SPAC that they that whole deal where there are shell companies that get a place on the stock market, and they wait to combine or acquire an actual company that's looking to get onto the stock market. That's basically how Trump's company, a Trump media company, the one that runs Truth Social, got on the stock market.
Okay. So it opened at 9.760 a share, and then has gone up and way down, all the way down to 5.950 a share, and now it's back to 9.90. So it's technically ever so incrementally slightly higher than it was when it first opened, but it's gone all the way up and then all the way down and then all the way back up again.
Right.
Kind of a roller coaster. I wouldn't look at this, and this would not give me investor confidence. I wouldn't be like, "Oh, this looks like some, this looks like cryptocurrency." To be honest with you, in terms of this trajectory,
yeah, it's I don't know. I'm not claiming anything on Rumble yet. I don't have any details. I'm just saying from my experience, you look at this stuff, you can get a good feeling for things. I don't think it's like completely fake. I don't think it's like complete. I don't think they're. I think, like you said, out of all these alternative platforms, Rumble, I do agree that Rumble is probably the most successful.
In terms of a proof of concept, demonstrating there can be alternative networks that do traffic much higher in conservative content. Rumble, I think, is probably doing better at that. I thought DLive was going to be more successful than it ended up being. It's unfortunate that it just became riddled with gambling and cryptocurrency, and now the whole network's kind of shitty. But I thought that was... it was interesting. They were running similar streaming and server kind of experiences companies.
See, for me, I guess they consider alternative networks or platforms as like being inherently conservative. I obviously just view an alternative platform as it being an alternative to one of the bigger ones.
Oh, it's like, it's a business. They're all businesses.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. You know, I would consider, I don't know, you got, you know, Google is with Gmail, Microsoft with Outlook as the big email providers. You know, Proton Mail is an alternative to that. They're not like inherently political. They're just an alternative to those bigger platforms, a smaller company. That,
no, no. They're, yeah. They're inherently for drug dealers. It's great.
I it's not encrypted stuff is not for me. Let's put it that way. I don't for me, I'd rather not lose my shit if I forget my password. Let's put it that way.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Back on to what we were talking about, though. Yeah, this, you know, I think to me, the takeaway, though, from all this, that people should, you know, with all the drama and all the infighting, and of course, that's good. Let them fight. Sit back and enjoy them knock audience from each other, because that's obviously what's going to happen. You see it already. And the takeaway is just how much money is propping up conservative media.
Oh, it's outrageous.
Like you mentioned it earlier, obviously, but like that should be people's takeaway here. And, you know, Daily Wire confirmed it themselves. They said it out in the open while trying to knock Crowder, but they let the cat out of the bag from their own mouth. I mean, you know, we knew these things, but it's good to hear them admit it themselves.
I'll be honest, I didn't think it was that high. I like maybe the $15 to $20 million range. I could believe that includes all the costs of the show. But again, those numbers for an internet show, like a $50 million 4-year contract offer for a show that is made in like you could make like I make mine in a room in my apartment kind of thing, you know, like yes, you can up the quality, you can definitely make really high-end internet shows, a lot of them have existed, a lot of people have them, but still ultimately compared to traditional media, the costs are astronomically lower. You don't need a 25 person you know, crew to pull off your 1 hour a day. And by the way, we didn't even mention all the little details of his contract. Doesn't he get like, he only had to work 4 days a week. He got like 4 weeks or more paid vacation. It was like thing after thing after thing made it sound just like a better and better deal. Hold on a sec, I'll pull this up. The contract reads like a dream, says Rolling Stone. 4 weeks of paid vacation, full editorial control over content produced, a staff to help promote and adapt content, the right to retain ownership of any content Crowder produced prior to joining the Daily Wire. Responding to Crowder's claims that the company was doing the bidding of Big Tech by penalizing potential losses of advertising revenue, Boring explained that the contract represents a joint venture between the parties, meaning both parties lose a little when revenue is affected. Which, yes, that again makes sense. So if you lose the stores to sell your magazines, then all of a sudden, yeah, you sell less magazines, less mag binders, less mag binders.
Right. Yeah, I it's still, you know, it's not surprising, obviously, but just to see that those numbers being thrown around, like it's nobody's business. Like, well.
Or that is
it's our business
somehow.
Now. Bad phrase to use because we know about it. But to see those numbers thrown around like it's just like play money. Like it's just like 50 million. I would have to do my own show, full editorial control, focusing 100% on the content, not having to deal with any outside influences. We forgot to mention 4-day work week too.
Four-day work weeks.
He's allowed to work, double up AKA on episodes. Host. What's that?
Like, work is host. He has to host for an hour a day or 2 hours, however long it is. But for the rest of the time, the staff is handling everything else. They're handling the editing, the thumbnails, the uploading. They're handling, I'm sure, a lot of the writing, the characters, all that kind of stuff. Like, Steven Crowder shows up for a couple hours, does his thing, goes home, and that's it, 4 days a week. And you're getting, again, $12.5 million a year to do this in your budget.
Like, it's just, it's... I don't know what to say. I mean, I guess that number's not all that crazy when you consider that reportedly the Gina Carano movie that Daily Wire produced, the one that made $800 in the box offices. $804, excuse me. Yeah. Apparently had a $75 million budget.
I don't believe that. It's one set. That makes no sense. Where did that money go? to what?
I mean, they got the money if they're offering 50 mil. You can fudge the numbers a lot in movies, obviously. I don't think it's 75 absolutely. Million
people,
either.
And people, like, yes, people, like, take tons of money to tax breaks. I know, because, like, I worked in the industry and all that kind of stuff, but that's not a $75 million film. Like, right, it's one set.
But yeah, but also, like, in film, this always baffles me. In film, like, when you hear the word low budget, you know, you probably think of little indie creators, but in the biz, low budget is something like under, like, what?
10 to 16, yeah, under 20.
Million. Like, that...
Yes,
like,
under 20 million is an independent film.
Like, that's insane. That's always been insane to me. Like for me, like, if you told me that a film had a six-figure budget, I would go, oh, wow, that's an indie film, but that's a big budget. They would go, oh my God. Like that would be like the way to advertise the movie for Hollywood. This movie was made with a pittance. Only $600,000. Can you believe it?
Oh, that's a micro budget. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it's so like I think it's gotta be in the millions, obviously. Like they definitely lost
It definitely could be in the millions. If it was 15 million, I believe that. If you know, and then I'd be like, yes, that looks like a $15 million movie. Maybe 1 to 2 million secure your star, if that, or maybe they told her she was getting back end. I don't know. It's weird to have back end where it's distributed on its own streaming service. You should also add though, I don't know what happened there, because it's true that it only opened in one theater in the United States, and that's why it made so little money. But I think that's a fuck up. Like, it should not have had maybe a release at all, just so those numbers don't appear on Box Office Mojo.
I don't think it opened in only one theater.
I think it only opened in one theater in the United States, and they had two different distributions globally. One in like, it was like Saudi Arabia or something else. Their international distribution was even weirder. Russia and Saudi Arabia or something. Or maybe it's the United Arab Emirates and Qatar. Okay, let me see this.
I'm looking this. I'm looking at. Let's see. How many? I guess it was one theater. You're right. Where did I see more than that? I thought I saw more than that.
But that's the only reason that it became a meme. And like in their defense, they're like, yeah, this wasn't released like across all these theaters. You're all just running with something that isn't true. And it's like, no, it technically is true. I just think someone fucked up. Like you only do that if you were trying, like if you host a premiere, you can keep that off of Box Office Mojo if you make it free. That's what most people do. They'll have premieres, but they pay for the premiere. If you sold tickets, that's how that appeared on the registry. The publicly available registry of ticket sales for that film. So someone somewhere opened it up and then sold tickets for that one day, and that's where you get the $804. That's why that exists. It's really weird.
Bizarre. I could have swore I saw that it opened in a bunch of theaters. Maybe that counted the international.
So the international market, which not a lot of people report on, it released in the United Arab Emirates and Russia. And had, you know, a couple thousand dollars in each of those markets, which is also very hilariously abysmal. Also very weird specifically that, but, you know. Yeah, it made an estimated $13,000 globally.
Wow, they only gotta multiply that.
Small by... ROI.
Oh, my God. Right. The hilarious part there is this is someone who is Gina Carano was friggin' going to be she was in a Star Wars series on Disney Plus, and seeing how this stuff works, seeing how this stuff, she was on The Mandalorian, right? How this stuff works, I mean, you gotta believe that they had plans for her character, maybe spinoffs I mean, she would have, and she let her conservatism get her knocked out of the Disney world.
Like, it wasn't even, it was one shitty joke, one anti-Semitic joke. Like, stop comparing things to the Holocaust. So easy. All you got to do is apologize, do the Marjorie Taylor Greene thing. I went to a Holocaust museum and realized the Holocaust was bad. I won't make that mistake again. And then, boom, you're still in the good graces. It was a small foible, but it's just like, I'm taking a stand, all right? This is vaccine apartheid. This is the same thing as the Holocaust. This comparison is completely accurate. It's like, well, I hope it was worth it. I genuinely do. I hope the struggle is real, you know?
Well, a lot of people saw her in, well, a lot is pushing it, but people saw her in the movies that one day at Terror on the Prairie was.
That one day. limited release.
Oh, my God. I mean, I would really love to know where the money's coming from, because you don't throw that money around just on subscriptions. I'm sorry.
No, and you've always heard things like Dave Rubin is sponsored by the Koch brothers, or at least there's some think tank that sponsors him that's sponsored by the Koch brothers, and there's got to be. I don't understand why anyone could offer someone that amount of money and take that big of a risk unless there was something mitigating it, something some external, like. Yeah, your yearly subscription, if you have 1 million subscribers, is X amount of money. That's the amount of money you bring in as revenue. But also you get sponsors and or some amount of liquidity from external sources. Something, you know? It has to be.
All right. I would love for them to keep going at it so we could find out. Like, I feel like eventually they'll start just throwing out everything, each other's benefactors, all the, like, the administrative, the reports, the employee list, the tax filings that we throw. I'm waiting for Jeremy Boring the show, being like, so Steven Crowder is saying a lot of things about us. Over this next 75 minutes, I will be going through our complete 2022 tax filings here at Daily Wire.
2 hours later.
Oh my God, Lance. I just, the money, I can't get over it. The money. Anyone who thinks there's a leftist media, like big leftist media,
that, I know.
Like, it's just I like, know. There is nothing. There's nothing comparable.
Like, the closest you get is again, the champagne socialists, quote unquote, of like the Hassan Pikers and the H Bomber guys and the Chapo Trap Houses, but they're independently funded. Like, that again, that's tens of thousands of people in each case willing to give $5 to $10 a month to that person. And yes, it makes them rich, no question. Hassan is very, very rich, but like, it's not the same as having like an external benefactor create a network. You know, because it doesn't, like, why would anti-corporate, or anti-capitalist, or anti, you know, more democracy in the workplace-esque messaging, why would big business sponsor that? Why would anyone with big interests in those fields want to continue, or at least keep people thinking things? Like, they'd want to keep them upset at M&M's. Like, if you're mad at M&M's not being sexy or not showing enough feet, then you're not worried about the things that are actually causing you the fucking strife in life. You're not hitting the streets. You're not protesting. You're not doing direct action. You're not calling your politicians. You're not emailing people. You're not organizing. You're not joining unions. You're not joining the IWW. You're not causing a scene. You're not doing riots. You're not doing protests. You're not doing a revolution. You're just staying at home saying, holy fuck, it's true. Society's completely degenerate. That's what's fucked up, because we can't see the M&M's feet anymore. And that's sad, and it scares me. You know, that's the whole point. And so, yeah, I'm going to throw a fucking whole bunch of money for you to go and tell all your friends. Don't be mad at the things that are actually ruining your life. Be mad at the fucking M&Ms.
Well said, Lance. Wow, really, really went on a little roll there. I enjoyed that. but really, as you were breaking it down for me, I feel like my life came in order in my, you know, as I thought these things out. I've been going after that audience that has a life and goes outside and does these things, when I need to be targeting the people sitting at home yelling at the M&Ms. I mean, that's where the money is, apparently.
That's where the money's at, baby. Come on. Matt, you want to get that bag. You got to switch stuff around. And you know what? It seems so easy. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like you can just say whatever you want. You don't need to like be accountable. You don't need to have facts and figures. You don't need science, logic, information, data. Tim Pool says whatever he wants every day, and some of it is just outright lies and slander, and just makes fuck tons of money. He makes so much money, he brags about getting full-size like chicken posters in New York Times Square. He brags about that. Like, that's basically saying to the people who support you, yeah, I take your super chats and I buy giant chicken posters in Times Square, because lol, the memes are so epic.
Right.
But yeah, so Matt, if you want to get that bag, I support it.
I got to do it, I guess. I guess I'm going to start a new channel. I guess I'll just wear like glasses and I was going to say a mustache, but I mean, that's, what am I going to do? I'll just put on glasses like I'm Superman. Maybe people won't recognize me. Mm-hmm. Clark Kent. And I'll just start pumping out conservative media. And we'll see how it goes.
Batminder.
Yeah, you know? Batminder. No one will ever know.
Batminder. Yeah. Here he
is. Batminder of the outlet Magbinder.
Magbinder magazine. / Media Empire.
I'll rebrand myself as a Second Amendment guy, so it'll be a double entendre, whatever the word is. Magbinder will be a guns and ammo magazine. And I'll just wax poetic about conservative issues all day long.
Yeah, I mean, the fun thing is you get to make them up sometimes. Just like walk into a store, see a product, something that you beloved and enjoyed from your childhood, and then just turn it into a thing. Twinkies are too phallic nowadays. My God, do they know that they're filled with what appears to be some kind of soft cream? This is disgusting. They want to sexualize children with these. Like, there you go. Boom. There's a whole week. That's a whole week cycle for you. You know, that one's free. You can have that one for nothing.
Thank you. I'll have to steal that from you. Right. I think it was, is it Juniper on Twitter who I saw this from, but I don't recall,
Forbes.
Juniper, that Twitter user who created the goblin mode thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was she the one who also did the fake outrage over, over, what was it, like Mars or whoever creates Snickers?
Oh, the vein?
Removing, yes, the, yes, dick vein.
She is one of the internet's greatest and most wonderful trolls. And I was actually, while looking up articles to talk about Steven Crowder today, going through Forbes magazine, you may have heard of Forbes, and then just saw that she was in there. It was like Juniper, quote, tweeted inside the article. I was like, you are in Forbes. Amazing. She also invented the fake story that Five Guys is now going to become five non-binary people, and the right lost their shit at that one.
You know what? I think I need to partner with Juniper to create these stories, and then we'll have to just report them as if it's real via YouTube, and just we'll just make so much money.
So much money.
Before long, I'll be getting that Daily Wire non-binding offer, offering me not $50 million over 4 years, but I'll get that sweet, sweet $30 million a year offer.
All I ask is bring me on as a guest once you made it, you know. Like, Matt, I used to know you. I'm disgusted by you. I can like fake the whole thing. I'll spit on the ground and everything.
Joining me now is resident soy boy of Twitch.
Lance from the Surf. God damn it, I'm not a cuck, Matt. I hate
Lance,
you.
Lance, first things first, let me ask you. Is it now leftist to not have a last name?
Oh, fucking goddamn sellout. Goddamn fucking sellout. Fascist. Guillotine the mat. We're going to eat you someday. You just wait.
Well, I'll have to get that started. Honestly, I want to get to that point where the left is talking about eating me. That's the aspiration.
that's how you know you made it. You know, once you're on shirts, you know, eat Matt Binder becomes a thing. Then yeah, you truly sold out. You're really on the other side by then. Yeah.
Lance of the Surfs, everyone. Lance, people, I think know where to find you. But in case there is a few dozen people who are just fans of mine who somehow have never heard of you before, feel free to please use this time to tell people where they can watch your content.
If you're looking for premium soy delivered directly from the leftist teat, go check out everywhere social media sold at The Surfs TV. So twitch.tv/TheSurfsTV, youtube.com/TheSurfsTV, twitter.com/TheSurfsTV. And I'm on Mastodon. I just don't remember how to – mastodon.lol/TheSurfsTV, something like that. You can find me. I think I'm the only surfs on there right now. So, yeah, always a pleasure, Matt.
The only surf on Mastodon.
Yeah, the only true surf on Mastodon. Always a pleasure. We'll have to flip it up again and I bring you on my show and we do the same stuff. And you tell me all the facts.
Jack, right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure, definitely. I love coming on the surfs Twitch streams, and I love doing the little leftist mafia panels we do on Thursdays.
Yeah, those were a blast. Yeah, I guess I'll see you on Thursday. I don't even need to be like, it's going to be so long. I'll be like, yeah, all right. Yeah,
that's right. All right, Lance. Take care. I will talk to you soon.
Bye, fam. Bye, everybody. Bye, Matt.
All right, folks. That's not it, though, for the show, because I'm going to be taking calls right now. Let me first, really quickly. I wanna do the. No, that's the wrong. That's the scam economy logo. Where's the doomed one? There we go. Okay, I want to really quickly thank a few people who helped make this show possible. And that is the patrons at patreon.com/mattbinder. I got to shout out the people who joined Patreon since the last episode of this show. Alexander S, Matthew W, Cy A, Joseph D. And hold on, this person's not listed, but I remember seeing their email. Oh, is something going on? Is something going on with the Patreon? Let's see. And Sean Zone. Their name wasn't there. That was weird. Thank you all so much for becoming patrons over the past, a week or so? Since the last episode of Doomed. Cannot do this show without the patrons. So if you can consider becoming one. If you can become a patron, consider becoming one at patreon.com/mattbinder. Also, if you are a YouTube user, subscribe to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/mattbinder. There is a bunch of super chats. I will read all super chats in just a moment when I transition to the second half of the show, which changes nothing for you if you're watching live. Let me just finish shouting out the Twitch subscribers. First of all, twitch.tv/mattbinder. And if you are an Amazon Prime subscriber, be sure to connect your Amazon account to your Twitch account. And you get a free Twitch Prime subscription every month to give to your favorite creator. That's free for you, paid for your favorite creator, basically forcing Amazon to give a small portion of the money you already pay them to your favorite creator. You're basically making sure Jeff Bezos doesn't get more of your money. So it's a win-win-win for everyone, for you just to make sure you use your Twitch Prime subscription every month. If you don't want to give it to me, just please give it to somebody. And let me thank some of the people who've done so. One less name resubscribed for 1 month at tier one, subscriber for 5 months. Thank you so much. What else? Robot Monkey Cat resubscribed for 1 month at tier one, subscribed for 14 months. Ponderosapine resubscribed for 1 month at tier one, subscriber for 12 months. A Social Communist resubscribed for 1 month, subscriber for 10 months. Faradol subscribed with Twitch Prime. Thank you so much. Thank you all so much for your support. I really, really do appreciate it. Again, this show is not possible without, frankly, all of you viewers, and then also all of you paying subscribers. Whether you give a one-off on the YouTube, super chats, or you subscribe via Twitch Prime, or if you subscribe monthly via Patreon, cannot do this show without you guys. Now, if you are watching live, nothing will change for you. If you are a Patreon subscriber, nothing will change for you. In fact, let me really quickly address this. So I had an issue with Patreon for a little bit regarding the Patreon only half of the show, the members half of the show. I don't know what happened. It wasn't releasing. It wasn't uploading. It appears like that's fixed. People still been saying they haven't seen it. I was trying to catch up on what's missed. The episodes I did not get to upload on Patreon, but because I had the issue for so long, it's gone. I gotta upload a lot of stuff. So I was gonna originally wait to I catch up to upload everything. That's not gonna happen. I'm just one person. It's a lot of stuff to upload, cut, and get up for you guys. So to make sure this issue just gets solved right away, I am going to get the latest members episodes up on Patreon ASAP over the next few days. And then as time goes by, I will replenish the archives with the episodes that are missing. But there have been people reaching out saying, you know, they want to be able to get the member show via Patreon, and they haven't been able to. So I want to fix that immediately. So you'll be getting that all again because the issue is fixed. I will eventually get the archived episodes that are missing back up, but I don't want you guys to wait anymore. So that will be up. Everything will be back to normal there. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, if you're watching live, nothing will change for you. Give me a minute to just refill my drink. I will be taking calls via Skype. Search for Doomed Live, one word, Doomed Live, and you can call into the show in just a minute. For everybody else, as in the freebie podcast listeners, basically, I will see you all next time on Doomed.